Christian freedom threatened by legalism. Paul once more dealt with the idea held by the Judaizers of making one's own efforts at law-keeping a means of salvation. He does this over and over again to make sure that this deadly tendency is not found in the church. For the legalist, it is the actual keeping of the specific points of the law which earns him salvation. For the true Christian, on the other hand, its conforming with the law's demands is the result of Christ's living within him. His obedience stems from the operation of his faith in the power of grace provided by the Spirit. Christ is the beginning, the center, and the end, and the all of his life. Legalism, a spiritual disaster, part number one. Some of the Galatians had capitulated to the Judaizers and were seeking to earn salvation by their acts of obedience. Paul appealed to them to take their stand once and for all with Christ, who by his death had paid the penalty of their disobedience and set them free, giving them a second chance to live in a personal relationship with him. At the end of chapter 2, he had revealed the secret of his victorious life, saying that since Christ was living within him as a born-again believer, his struggle was not to frustrate the grace of Christ, but by allowing the Spirit free action in his life. He asked the Galatians to explain why they had turned away from this glorious condition of Christian victory and reverted to the bondage of seeking salvation by keeping the law on their own. He then used circumcision, demanded by the Judaizers, as an indication of their attempts to earn salvation by works, as an illustration. The heathen believers who had received Jesus as their personal Savior and had been accepted by him as children of God had been free and happy in their new covenant accord with heaven. They had achieved this without carrying out circumcision. Then the Judaizers had come along, shattered this relationship. Paul used bondage, meaning the servitude of the bondmaid Hagar, to represent the old life of works before belief in Christ dawned in their hearts. If they now persisted in carrying out the works of the law, illustrated by circumcision, in defiance of what Jesus had done for them, they were debtors to obey the whole law, and were thus in a hopeless state. Leaving Jesus Christ out of their lives, they were responsible for the sins of the past. Paul explained that the Christian counterpart of circumcision is baptism by immersion, Colossians 2:11-12. The believers who ignore the significance of baptism and revert to the practice of circumcision express their rejection of Christ's death and resurrection and his free gift of grace. They are substituting the works of the law for righteousness by faith. If man had kept the law of God, Ellen White says, as given to Adam after his fall, preserved by Noah, observed by Abraham, there would have been no necessity for the ordinance of circumcision. Patriarchs and Prophets 3:64. But circumcision was given to signal human impotence. It was man's acknowledgement that he could not comply with God's requirements. And Christ substituted baptism for the rite of circumcision. Part number two, faith and works contrasted. Paul urged the Galatian Christians day by day to wait eagerly, in the same manner as they were anticipating the second coming, for the hope of righteousness which grace will develop in their lives, and not to try to hurry things up by carrying out works of merit. True righteousness stems from Jesus, whether a believer has been circumcised or not. What they needed was faith that works by love, as James so clearly expounds. That is, they should believe that the indwelling Christ would bring about righteous deeds in their lives because they trusted and had faith in the power of grace that came from the Holy Spirit. But while it is true that our busy activities will not in themselves ensure salvation, it is also true that faith which unites us to Christ will stir the soul to activity. Ellen White, Bible Commentary, Volume 6, page 1111. Part number 3. How to restore erring Christians. Not for a moment did Paul believe that the moral law should not be kept. He gently reminded the Galatians that they had started the race to heaven well, and asked, "What is hindering you from continuing your compliance with the truth?" True obedience is vital, but it is possible only through grace. He then explained that the reason for their going back to doing the works of the law to gain salvation had not been motivated by the Spirit, who had called them to Christian living, nor had Paul, his minister, urged it. It was the result of a small number of Judaizers, like a little leaven, who had influenced them. Paul then expressed his confidence that through their renewed belief in their Savior and Lord, they would give up their false notions, and that those who had troubled them would eventually be judged by God to be in error. Part number 4. Judgment against false teachers. Evidently, some were accusing Paul of preaching circumcision, perhaps because of his recommendation that Timothy, half Jew, half Greek, should be circumcised. Acts 16:1-3. And then condemning the Judaizers for requiring circumcision. He asked the Galatians to explain why the Judaizers were then persecuting him. He suggested that had he really preached circumcision, and that it earned salvation, he would have been a friend of the Judaizers, and therefore would not be suffering at their hands. It was because of his belief in Calvary and the ordinance of baptism that they were against him. Paul then plainly stated that he wished the recalcitrant Judaizers were cut off, disfellowshipped from the church. Notice again the strong stand that he takes for righteousness. He had done it in the case of Peter. He was doing it now in the case of the Judaizers. They were false. However nice and gentle and loving they might appear, their preaching, their gospel, tended to death. Therefore, he says, I wish they were cut off. Part number 5, freedom and responsibility. Paul assured his Galatian brethren that they had been called to freedom in Christ, but they were not to use this as a reason to indulge their fleshly desires, condemned by the law, but instead should serve one another. For the second table of the law is fulfilled by this comprehensive principle, love thy neighbor as thyself. He warned them, should they continue to bite and devour each other, they should allow the principles of the Judaizers to be so divisive, they would eventually be consumed. Obedience by faith is necessary, but legalism is devilish. Paul did not advocate that the law should be abrogated. That would be anarchy. But he urged that the Christians, motivated by love, should live in conformity with the requirements of the law through faith empowered by grace. The purpose of his preaching was to restore the erring Galatians full fellowship with Christ. The legalist judges the conduct of others by his own norms, while the Christian believer should sense his weakness and trust only in the merits of Jesus.